House of Shammai and the house of Hillel, mm-hmm. whether it was it better that we were born or not born, in other words, should we be here to begin with? So Beis Shammai has an interesting opinion. We are better off, Noach lo shelo nivra, better we were never born. Ooh. I will have to explain what he means. And Hillel's opinion is no, that it's best that we were born. So what's the argument against being born?
Yeah.
So it's very pragmatic. It's the risk-reward investment.
It's a risk what?
Risk-reward, as I'll explain what I mean.
Reward,
yeah. Risk versus reward. Because what does he mean? Mm-hmm. We have a tradition. How many commandments in the Bible? So even though there are 10 commandments, but that's mm-hmm. just the 10 commandments. In the whole Bible, we have a tradition. 613.
Yes.
Taryag mitzvahs, as it's known. So there's 613 commandments. Commentators debate which ones do you include in the 613, which means there are a lot more, mm-hmm. but everyone came to that number. Some people have a different counting for different commandments. So we have six. So out of the 613, you think we have more positive commandments, meaning to actively do something, or more negative commandments to refrain from doing?
Got a lot of negative ones.
So you'd say more negative.
Yes.
So, yeah.
Is that right? Yeah.
I'll have to agree with that. Since mm-hmm. it's right, I'll have to agree with it. But could we put a number figure to it? Mm-hmm. So I'll give you a number. 365, this act is 365 days in a year.
Yes.
365 negative commandments. Mm-hmm. 248 positive. Again, a lot of them don't apply because we don't have a temple, but in practice, so we have 365 chances of doing the wrong thing. 248 chance. I'm just saying the way he's viewing it, then I'll explain.
Okay.
So, Beis Shammai says, let's say someone said they want to make, let's have an investment manager. They come to me, they want to make an investment. So then they'll say, okay, so how much upside on this investment? How much downside? So if I tell them, you know what, you have a 5% upside, about 80% downside, it wouldn't be that you might make money, but it's not a prudent thing to invest.
Yeah.
But if I tell them 80% upside, 5% downside, then that's a prudent investment. Mm-hmm. So that's what Beis Shammai says. He says, you have 365 chances negative to violate, and you only have 248 chances. So the odds are against you. Mm-hmm. So why go into an investment like that? So therefore, the playing field isn't even. So mm-hmm. But we disagree because we're here, but we understand that argument. So what's our response back? So our response back is that it's true that there are 248 positive and 365 negative, but this you're forgetting about one mitzvah. Mm-hmm. It's called tshuva, repentance. That, as we know, there's no righteous person in the world who doesn't sin. Mm-hmm. You know, obviously some people sin more. It's impossible. The human condition is you're going to make mistakes, and that's just the way it is. And that's why, let's say, other religions don't like our religion, because the whole point of certain God is that, you know, we can't do it ourselves. Let's believe in Jesus, Yeshua, and he'll save us.
Right.
In Judaism, we say, no. Mm-mm. Everyone could stand, and everyone's capable of standing up for their own, we don't need anyone else to sacrifice and take our. Everyone's capable. In fact, people don't. Repenting doesn't mean to say, like we do on Yom Kippur, I'm sorry, I'm terrible. I mean, that's. If you're just doing that, you probably need therapy and you need help. But you have to realize if I'm saying I did something wrong, implicit in that means I think I could have done better. In other words, so let's say someone has an illness, it's a nebuch. Someone's mentally insane, so it's a nebuch, what could you do? Mm-hmm. But it's not that he could do better, or she has a sickness, certain things are out of your control. Mm-hmm. But let's say I could give more charity, I could go to the hospital, whatever we could make up, whatever we all could do more, Everyone always can improve more. Mm-hmm. So implicit in tshuva means I believe in myself. Because if I don't believe in myself, then what am I doing? What's the truth? If I didn't think I could have did it right the first time, so what am I saying here? But it's not a therapy session. I mean, it's a therapy in a positive way. Every morning we talk about the appreciation of God and the world and appreciate the gifts we get. So therefore they point out that so tshuva by definition means I could do better. I can't, which means in literal, basically I'm saying I'm a failure, I can't do the right thing. So most normal people have well-balanced, they can do the right thing. You know, I'm talking about intellectually, I'm not judging anyone, everyone has their own desires. Mm-hmm. We're in a non-judgmental zone. I'm talking about from a pure academic point, no one can understand why, how could this person do that? We can't. People have different temptations. They're human, and that's between them and God. Yes. Bob is saying is, but we are how have I? We can, we know our own self, and try to work with that. So therefore, we say things that we try, and every year we come back. We're not hypocrites. Every year I'm going to try. Some years will be better than others. Some days that's just the human condition. And as it says in the rabbis teach us, what's the difference between a successful person and someone who doesn't succeed? It says regarding a wicked person, so it says the verse they quote is, people think the difference is a wicked person, a righteous person doesn't have any tests. Like they just look at them later on. But it says every person, it's an expression, but it says seven times you will fall and then you will rise. Which doesn't mean literally seven, but it means is people think that they look at the end result. They don't realize how many years, whether you're the best lawyer in the world, the best doctor, the best rep, you're the best musician. You've given up your life to become that way. There's no easy way out. There was someone, Kobe Bryant, he was like a...
Oh, my God.
I mean, so I'm not getting... to me, the tragedy is more he was a father. He lost a daughter. And I'm not... whether he could, the fact he was a great basketball player doesn't make it any more tragic or less. I don't care if his name is Joe Smith.
Right.
Anyone 41 with the kids and you have a wife, that's a terrible tragedy. And I'm not getting into different alleged things about they said what he did. But the bottom line is, he definitely clearly changed because I think what they say was 7 a.m.
He went
at church and he came early. He was doing communion. Yeah, he went with his daughter. So it's ironic that
repentance.
Yeah. So I'm just saying is as we're saying we all believe everyone. We believe repent unless someone has a mental something which is out of their control.
Yes.
So therefore, it's true. The odds are against us, but since we could change, the fact that we could do 360, that doesn't make a difference. In fact, our rabbis tell us something even greater, that it says, on one point, there's an apparent contradiction in the Talmud. How great is the power of tshuva? So in one place it says the power of tshuva, repentance, is you could level the playing field. I did something wrong. I asked God for forgiveness. Okay, we're even now.
Mm-hmm.
The other opinions, it's the same rabbi saying both opinions, and he says, no, not only can you... Not only do you level the playing field, you could turn that sin and put it on the mitzvah. So how do we reconcile? It's the same rabbi, because the answer is depends what my motivation is.
Yeah.
If we'll take either one, by the way, any type of repentance we take. But if you repent because of fear, like fear of punishment or like public, whatever brings you, that's great. Yeah. But that levels the playing field. If you repent because you really feel sincerely you did the wrong thing, you want to become a better person, you want to become closer to... So then not only does it go back to zero, you can even get rewarded for it. That's how far it goes.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, it doesn't make a difference, even if there were 612, that the fact that we could take any sin, any mistake we made and change it into a positive, so that's why that's Beis Hillel's opinion... Better that better that we were created. So therefore, number one, I'm just pointing out, if you go with the school of Shammai, then obviously celebrating, don't celebrate, why would you celebrate? If you shouldn't be here, celebrating a birthday can't be a good thing. So clearly we're not working.
Wow, is that a twist?
Clearly we're working in that it's a good thing we're here. And even the Gemara, the Talmud says, it's really academic, since we don't have a choice. Yeah. We're here, the best of it. It's a nice philosophical, theological discussion, but practically, what's the difference if I should have, I'm here, so now what? Mm-hmm. So even Shammai agrees, now that you're here, you make the best of it. You know, it's a more of a theological question, is it better that I was here than not here? You know, I guess maybe it's also on the views and how good they think humans are, they're overcoming their natural tendencies or their weaknesses. But as they point out, because as they say, see, people make the mistake in life that it's a good thing. Well, you know that you work on your weaknesses, which people usually do. Mm-hmm. But I'll give you it's spring training starting soon. It's baseball season. Mm-hmm. I'll give you a baseball parable.
Okay.
There was this. I don't even remember this pitcher. I think it was Jim Catt. Whatever, he was one of these pitchers, I don't know, Philadelphia, Chicago, doesn't make it. He's a Hall of Famer, is the important thing. So someone asked him, he's like, hey, you already retired. So tell me, what was the secret of your success? Like, is there one thing? So he says, I'll tell you what it was. My first day, I got to spring training, I got to practice, and I was a rookie, and so the manager or the coach, the pitching coach came over to me and said, so tell me, so how many pitches do you have? So I have a fastball, a curveball, a spitter, a breaking ball, whatever. Okay, great. So tell me, which is your strength and what's your weakness? Yeah, my fastball is good, my curveball. I'm a little weak on the breaking ball or on this. So he said, okay, great. So which pitch are you going to work on? He said, I guess I'll work on my things that I'm weak on, my breaking ball. He said, no, you got it all wrong. You're never going to have a great breaking ball, a break spitball. Your strength is your fastball. That's going to be your great. You focus on that fastball and make it even better. So a lot of times in life, which is okay, you have to focus on everything, but sometimes we focus too much on the negatives, and people have talents in different ways. If you're an artist, don't try to have the person try doing, like in the movie, like The Chosen, you see, like the person... Mm-hmm. Even with the crumbs on the table, he's automatically. Some people just take pens and start drawing pictures. If your strength is, artistic, that you have to know. It's just as important to know what you can do than know what you can't do. That's why they say at the end of Genesis, when Jacob was blessing his kids, so when he gets to some of his kids, Shimon and Levi, with blessings like that, who needs curses? He starts saying you get angered too. He started rebuking them, you get angry too quick. So what kind of blessing? The answer is no. That just like it's a blessing to know what you can do, you got to know what you can't do. Some people, need anger management classes. Even if they don't, they know that's something they always have to work on. Some people are laid back, so they have to work on it. Different people have different weaknesses and strengths. So that's what Beis Hillel is saying. We're here now. So what are we going to do? We got to work on whether we should be here or not. Really doesn't make a difference now we're here. And now, even though it's true, the odds are stacked against us, but it's not. God gave us the mitzvah of tshuva, and we have the ability to turn that into a positive. In fact, I'll even give you a legal example of that, like a halakhic example. There's a, you went to the kosher store, or you have two kosher hamburgers, and let's say you have a nanny, someone came in, whatever the case may be, and they brought in another hamburger for them to eat. They're not Jewish. And whatever reason, all three hamburgers are mixed together. You have no idea which was kosher. Let's assume that. So the question is, could I eat all three? What do I have to do? Do I have to throw them out? So there's a principle in Jewish law, it's a verse in the Bible, which says we follow the majority, majority rule. It's talking about in a court of law, you go with the majority of people voting on an issue, but that's what the verse in the Bible is talking about, and the Talmud says it also applies to all areas, and one is kosher, is kosher. So we have a principle, acharei rabim lahatos, we follow the majority. So therefore, you're allowed to eat some of the hamburgers. The question is, how many of it? So again, so that's a debate whether some say maybe you should only eat two because you know a third one is definitely not good, so only eat two. And there is an opinion, you know, whether we follow it or not, it's a separate discussion. You can make a triple stack burger. You can put your caramelized onions on. You could have your pretzel bun and eat it all together.
Oh.
So what? How could that person have that opinion? Like, we know one of those burgers are in kosher.
Yeah.
So the answer is no. So there's a principle in Jewish law that once you go with the, so let's say you had three people in the court of law and two said one way. So it's true it began with the majority, but once the two out of three give their verdict, we view it as all three. It's not a debate anymore.
Oh,
you know, how you get there might be a debate. You go,
yes.
But once the verdict's in, we ignore the minority. So therefore, that non-kosher hamburger disappears and it doesn't exist. Legally speaking, it's a kosher hamburger now, even though, you know, I say if you go to the chem lab, you can find out which one is which, you know.
Yeah.
But the bottom line is, so we go by majority, and therefore there's an opinion that says you, not only could you eat them, you could all three together. Because why? Because we don't view it. So along the lines we were saying, in the Hasidic books, they Hasidim are very positive. They take negatives and turn it to positive. Mm-hmm. So one of the great Hasidic rabbis said, even more so, he says, let's say you're making chicken soup, and you know, nice Yiddish food, food for the soul, but whatever, the kids are running around and they drop a little, some milk falls into the chicken soup. So there's a principle of nullification. That's 60, as long as the chicken soup is 60 times the amount of the milk, you can't, and I can't go ahead and pour it in because I want the milk taste, but if it happens by mistake, then we say you can't eat it. But if it happens by mistake, so then we say it's nullified in 60. I don't get the call all the time. I said, the woman's already threw out the chicken soup. I want to know about, I said, don't worry, the chicken soup, you can eat. In fact, according to the Hasidic rabbi, the B'nai, he says, not only that, that's the highest level of food. You should bring it to the Kiddush and Shul, and you should share it with the whole community. Why? That's something that was once prohibited and now becomes permitted. That's the highest level. Same thing, that's what tshuva is, that we make mistakes, because that's how you grow in life. That's why they say, why did God created many worlds, and he destroyed them, and then he had this world. Like, God couldn't get it right the first time? He could have, but he did it for us. Because he realized, he says, because we human beings are going to make mistakes, I want them to show there's nothing wrong with making a mistake and growing and continuing. And that's why he did it over... That's why he did it over 7 days, 6 days, because that's how human beings work. One day at a time, you can't, you know, there was no point to show the world, you know, could be that it was a lesson for human beings. So that's why, so the first thing is we're here, it's a great thing, no matter what mistakes we make, we always could grow. So there are certain birthdays in Judaism that have special significance. Mm-hmm. Which ones?
Oh, well, it would be for the high holidays.
Or which birthday?
Oh, I beg pardon. Yeah.
Like what age? I'm looking for an age.
Oh, yeah, 13.
Correct. 12 and 13 is one of them. Is
that
the correct? So
that's
12
right.
For a woman, she becomes bas mitzvah.
That's right.
She becomes from a minor to a adult,
mm-hmm.
And then for a man, a boy, it's from 12. Is when you turn 13.
Mm-hmm.
Why
girl
is it
12, right?
Yeah, 12 for 12. A girl and 13,
yeah, and 13 for
a
boy?
Yeah, why is a boy 13 and a girl 12? See, some people get it all wrong. They think they want to be like men and they want to move the
bus. Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
It's no, the, okay. But doesn't make any sense because if you have kids, you would know, you know that basically if you have a girl and a boy, you see girls mature at a much earlier age. And hopefully, you know, males mature later, but they mature. So since women matures earlier, so that was the age, 12 is the age where they reach the maturity. And we don't reach our maturity, obviously, that's a general rule. Some people could be 25 and not mature yet, but as a general rule. You wanted to...
Yeah, bat mitzvahs. They were never kosher. They were never the thing to do or the religious thing to do when I was growing up as a kid.
Yeah, so okay, so I mean.
So it's just, again, it's.
That's 40.
No, so I'll answer your question. Yeah, no, so 100%. So what, see, you're talking about something else that I'm not talking about. You're talking about the ceremonies. Yeah. Today, and we could discuss that next. Yeah. Today, well, we're much more into ceremonies and we have a big, you know, people have a, right, I agree, during my day they weren't, but I'm not, we're talking about inherently the age itself. I'm not discussing about,
The celebration.
Yeah, but you're, right, I'm talking about the age of 12 inherently for a woman, a girl, and it, right, but it's true, that's a, in other words, it was always like, it wasn't because of the role of woman, you know, and all that, so it was always much more of a private affair, by definition, because a woman wasn't doing anything in the public sphere. I'd say a boy would get up and he'd read from the Torah, he'd, you know, daven, you know, so it was much more of a public role, so therefore people knew it. So today, you know, so there's nothing wrong, and I think it's a good thing. So today, you know, so women celebrate, you know, we have, they'll read the book, or, you know, however people weren't celebrating, but yeah, but it's a good, but the point is, you're right, why, it's true, it wasn't as popular back then, the ceremonies and the parties, but it doesn't take away from how important it is. Basically, that's probably the most, one, besides the importance of being born, probably 12 and 13 are the most, because those are the days where you become obligated in commandments.
So
and you
12,
become,
a girl turning 12, is recognized even in Orthodox communities.
100%.
Oh, yeah.
I never knew that.
Yeah.
Is that because that's when, well, she has her menstruation?
Yeah, well, you know, like puberty, you know, so that's puberty, it's based on physical characteristics,
So in an Orthodox home, how would she be celebrated?
Yes, again, so now, so people do, so number one, the question is also, how would you celebrate a boy? See, in different circles, people celebrate differently, so you definitely have a family affair. Right? So I'll tell you what I did. My daughter, I had a big bas mitzvah for both of my daughters. Mm-hmm. We had a party at home. Mm-hmm. You know, and then they prepared, you know, they learned something and they give a dvar, you know, something, whether it's about, you know, whether it was about, you know, whether you wanted to be about Esther, Ruth, it's your choice. You learn a certain amount and you talk about, you know, they could do research on the on some famous woman, you know, so, but we but today it's, you know, minimally, you'll have like a family affair, and then you have your friends' kids, so they have their party, and you know.
Right. But as far as the synagogue goes, like today.
What happened?
No, it's all right.
Yeah.
No, sorry.
Well, I thought you banged yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I get these shots of pain every now and then if I move wrong.
Right.
Sorry about that. I don't know what I'm trying to say. In the Orthodox community, a boy goes up to the Bima, he reads from the Torah, etc. But a girl doesn't do that.
Right, so that's 2 points. That's 100% true. But let me tell you a secret. If on my 13th birthday, I didn't leave my bed and slept all day, I'm a bar mitzvah boy. That doesn't make me a bar mitzvah. No. That's totally. I don't have to get aliyah. I don't have to go to shul at all. What I'm saying is inherently, you could be in a desert island in Africa. If you turn 12 or 13, you could be the only Jew in that.
Okay.
That's what I mean. So that it's inherently that no matter what. Then the question is, what is a value custom? Different cultures, Orthodox, Reform, you know, I don't know, everyone might celebrate.
Not necessary. You don't have to have a public celebration.
Exactly.
How big a party?
Exactly. That depends on you, the family, you know and all that.
I heard people in the States, a bar mitzvah boy, they had it at Caesar's Palace with horses.
Yeah. It's out of control. People have like in.
Yeah, I'm talking about religiously.
No, that's how people celebrate bar mitzvahs.
I know, but that's a secular party. I'm talking about religious practice.
Oh, for
religious practice.
Yeah. No, I mean, bar mitzvah is a real, but In other words, bar mitzvahs are religious, but she means to say among Orthodox people she was talking. You know, it's a secular way to celebrate a bas mitzvah. What I mean is nothing Jewish. What I mean to say, there's nothing Jewish in the celebration. Person could celebrate anywhere they want, but I'm saying, but it's not a Jewish celebration. It was not, if you take everyone to the Raptor game, it might be a nice way, but it's not a Jewish celebration. I'm not judging anyone. You could do that. You could do your Jewish celebration and go to the Raptor. I'm just saying is, but that's, but so it's an inherent. So again, so I'd say now, among it's since, you know, they're more, they have more public celebrations for like when. As I said, my sisters, I don't remember having any part. Like, I had two older sisters, you know, not that they minded or not. I'm saying, but today we have more, you know, and it's those are things you can, you know, if you feel better, why not, you know, and so some people want it, don't
they
want it.
Your sisters?
Yep.
Now, did they have the Jewish schooling, like Hebrew and all, like you did?
Yep.
Because at one time when I was young, my brothers had bar mitzvahs. I went to Jewish school. Mm-hmm. My parents were religious, but yet girls didn't,
matter that much.
No, not matter, but we did. At those years, nobody, you know, we had our birthdays, but that's it.
Yeah, my father was very big on the women learning even then. Now, before it was popular.
My father, yeah.
Yes, I'm just saying they all went to the same. They went to yeshiva. Yeah. They went to yeshiva through grade 12, mm-hmm. and I think they both went to Israel, or they could have, and you know, and then they went on to university. So yeah, right. So but it was the same.
It's funny, when I was growing up, the boys had the bar mitzvahs, and the girls had their sweet 16s.
Exactly.
It was a big deal in the Jewish community.
Yeah.
Not in the Gentile community, the Christian. I went to very few 16 parties.
I guess they were making up for not having a bar mitzvah party.
Well, that's exactly.
That's why it's good if you get the bar mitzvah party and you don't need the sweet 16 party. I'm just kidding.
My daughter, she's 51, bless her. She graduated from Herzliya.
The one in Israel. Yeah, the high tech one.
Like a high school here. Mm-hmm. Well, she had a bar mitzvah. I mean, a bas mitzvah.
Right.
But she was very learned. She could go to a bima and she could daven like a man.
Well, exactly.
But in those years, she liked it. I believed in it. But that's 51 years ago.
Yeah, no, I'm saying it. So, yes. Yeah. So obviously, the world changes, culture changes.
Yes,
but the principle doesn't change. 12 and 13. No. You know how you want to do your ceremony.
That's up.
Yeah, but
it's automatic.
It's automatic.
Jewish law. You're 12.
You become, you wake up, you become obligated in commandments before you know, whether you like it or not. That's just the reality, yeah. So that's probably, that's a major birthday. Another one before that isn't as major, but, they talk about significance of turning two. You know, the terrible twos.
Oh, terrible two,
turning two.
Oh.
Yeah, why two?
Terrible
two.
I don't know why two.
Because, I'll tell you why, because then the practice was for 24 months, the wife used to breastfeed.
Yes.
So after she did, the two used to have a party after that. In fact, that's what they say.
They wean from the bottle. Yeah,
that's what we learned out from the butt from Abraham and Sarah. It says that because one says he celebrated his birthday, but then it says it was like 24 months.
Yes.
So it was 2 years later after the weaned of us. That was also a celebration. So that's the two.
Okay.
The three is more among. That's for a woman. That doesn't make a difference, boy or girl. The third one is three. When you turn three, there's still a custom today among more Hasidim.
Boys to cut their hair.
Yeah, they let your hair. It's like this. Let me just explain what the custom is based on. There's a halacha that certain trees. You know, so you grow them. So the first 3 years, you know, you get benefit from them, and the fourth year you can eat them. So to speak, you want to show your child is that way. So the first 3 years, you don't give them a haircut. Mm-hmm. And then you got, when they turn three, so many people go to, if you live in Israel, you go to Meron on Lag BaOmer. That's where you get hundreds of thousands of Jews. They go up to the gravesite of Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, the great rabbi, many people do it there. Mm-hmm. Even here, people, they have, at three, they make a little party. Mm-hmm. You go around, you get, if you want to cut, you could cut a little piece of hair off. So again, so that's more Hasidish, but that's mm-hmm. in the Hasidish right, circle right. street, but mm-hmm. most okay. people don't, I never mm-hmm. did that. But you know, I didn't do that with my kids, I'm saying, but you okay, go on.
3 years, you get a haircut. But what about the payas?
Yes, yes.
It includes the payas because don't.
Right, the payas they wouldn't know. I don't know. If it
they wouldn't cut.
Right, the payas you know, the payas you never cut. Like I always have to have like over
yeah,
up until like
over
my
your ears.
Yeah, but my bone over here. Mm-hmm. You know, so Hasidim, some feel you can you're not allowed to shave ever. That's why they have beards.
Yeah.
And then others say no, you're allowed to shave, but the question is how. So the Bible. So I can't use a razor. A Jewish male can't use a razor on their face.
Mm, whatever. You mean like, oh.
Like a regular, not an electric shaver, I don't mean. I'm talking about like a razor.
Yeah, razor blade.
Yeah, because they say whatever danger, whatever the issue is. The bottom line, it's a verse in the Bible. Mm-hmm. So therefore, I'll never use a razor on my, you can use it on different parts of your body, not on like different, it's mm-hmm. five different parts. My barber already knows. He like tells the other Jewish patient. The rabbi told me, I know I can't use a razor here. Yeah, so so what you do is, so there's something, so back then, that's, see, many Jews didn't shave because it was hard back in the day.
Yeah.
That it's a theological question. Is a Jew supposed to have a beard or is this a practical thing? Because you couldn't, is it a practical thing because we couldn't shave, so that's why you had beards, or there's something inherent. So either way, but so the question is, so some don't shave because they say you're not supposed to shave. Others say you can shave, you just have to find a permitted way of shaving. So how is that? So a razor is clearly prohibited.
Mm-hmm.
So then a scissor is mm-hmm. clearly permitted. Oh. So those are scissor permitted, razor prohibited.
Okay.
The big debate was when Norelco, whoever it was, who came out with the first electric shaver, do we view that shaver as a razor or we drew that shaver as a scissor? So those who say it's like a razor, they say you can't use it.
No.
I'm in the other camp. I say it's like, not me personally, but the many people before,
mm-hmm.
it's like a scissor action and therefore you're allowed to shave. And then within the shavers, that depends how then people will debate on this specific shaver, whether to them, I'm just giving you the background. So there's some who say you should never shave, and then those who say you can shave, but then you have to shave and you have to have a proper instrument. So back in the day, you had to use this powder and burn your face off to get so people didn't shave.
Yeah.
So that's why we're living in the first generation mm-hmm. where you have Orthodox clean shaven men.
Okay.
You never had that before because you didn't have electric shavers before, okay. So it was very difficult to shave. Yeah.
So a scissors wouldn't do very
right,
much.
Exactly.
You have a fuzz,
you'll trim, exactly. So you never had that, so therefore, that's why this is the first generation, you know, whatever, I don't know, maybe the past, whatever, 50 years, I don't know, whatever, they, whenever the electric shavers mm-hmm. came out, and so that's why you have a new phenomenon that you have Orthodox male Jews who are clean shaven because mm-hmm. you're allowed to shave.
Rabbi,
so
since it's Orthodox, there's Orthodoxy and Hasidim. Now,
yeah.
You're Orthodox.
Yeah, but I mean, Hasidim are part of Orthodox.
Yeah, I know, but there's a difference in them.
But it depends what you mean.
Yeah, okay.
Difference in, well, yeah, they look differently, but it's the same Torah.
It's the same mentality. No, I know that. But looking the way...
That's a cultural thing in how they dress. Number one, the dress, but then... No, that's based on their interpretation of Jewish law, that they won't ever shave.
Yeah,
So in terms of, they'll wear the black things, but
and that's different,
and they'll have different customs, but fundamentally, I keep Shabbos the same way they do.
Mm-hmm.
Within kosher, you can have, they'll want bells or shchit, you know, they might have their own, they'll only eat their own, but that's that's a technical in terms of, that's just, because how it used to be, today we have like OU, or it used to be everyone had their own show. Every town had their own shochet, mm-hmm. and used to, and people. So therefore, Satmar only eat Satmar. I don't care. I'll eat if it's a good. I'm limited to one a year. You know, as long as it's a respectable supervision, then it'll be good. I don't need to. I'm not locked into it has to be a specific one. As long as they follow the halachas, I don't need this. Cause the difference between some have a sharper blade, some don't. They're technical, more minor differences, and it's more it's just that much more insulated chassid. Mm-hmm. So therefore, they just eat their own, and more. It's more of a social thing. It's not halachically. It's not that much different in terms of the actual slaughtering, but they. For whatever reasons, they're much more insular. They like keeping to themselves, so that's fine. It doesn't bother me.
Let live.
Yeah, everyone,
lives their life.
So among Hasidim, you have much more of the 3-year, and then it's filtered into non because people like people like having ceremonies today. That's just the reality. So even if you're not Hasid, people are like, let me have a party. It gives me another excuse to have a party or whatever, whatever the reasons.
Parties, yeah.
Exactly, yeah. So that was, so 12 and 13 are the big ones. 2 and 3 aren't as big, but they're mentioned in terms of the time of weaning and that. And
then, any others?
Yeah, so then, in Pirkei Avos, actually, I have it in here, it talks about the different things that happen.
Excuse me, you need anyone, sir?
I don't think he speaks English.
He plays piano. He always comes to
me. Oh, he lives here or not?
It's okay. That's what I say. No, he's essential. He plays piano near me.
Yeah.
Nice gentleman.
Yeah, so there's a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos.
Does he speak English?
No.
It talks about the difference. I'll just find it here. It's in the chapter. It goes to when you turn different ages. In terms of what it's supposed, what it's supposed to mean, different birthdays.
Rabbi, when you become 85, you become smarter.
There is one.
We hope.
Actually, by the way, there's only one birthday mentioned in the Bible.
Yeah, what's
his name? The one you would think. I'll give you a hint.
Okay.
It wasn't necessarily the best. It's very relevant to Pesach and this time of year, what we're reading in Shul.
Right.
So he's not. So guess who's the only birthday mentioned in the Bible is who? Something I'll give you a hint. It has nothing to do with the Pesach story.
It has to do with the Pesach
story.
Yes,
very much so.
Birthday.
Who's an evil character in the Pesach story?
Hamas.
Hamas.
Homan.
No,
that's for Purim.
We're getting closer.
Just
a minute.
Pharaoh.
Correct.
That's the Egyptian, of course.
Yeah, the Egyptian king. It's a verse. It's a verse in the Bible. He's the only birthday mentioned. He's in Genesis 40:20.
What does it say about him? He should only lie
there. It says a lot of things about him, but it's the only birthday mentioned in the Bible.
Really?
Why?
Yeah, it's a good question. It's incidental to the discussion, but I'm just saying by birthday, it happens to mention. So that's the question.
The Haman we'd shake that we should erase his name.
No, but not saying it's a good thing. Here. Yeah, they're saying. That's what we'll get to.
Why would they put his birthday?
Yeah.
In the Bible.
That's what I'm discussing right now. So
okay.
Why? So number one, it's mentioned in the Bible, the only one.
Yeah.
So that gets into the question we started off with, is it a Jewish thing or not? So some want to claim the fact that, what's the source? It only talks about, why isn't it talking about Abraham's birthday?
Yeah.
See, we see it's not they must have not celebrated birthdays.
No.
Others say no. Mm-hmm. Other birthdays the fact that Paro celebrated, that doesn't make it a bad thing.
Mm-hmm.
Even though you did a lot of bad things, but, on a birthday you give someone honor, so a king, there's a discussion. You have to give a king a certain amount of respect, even if he's not the best king.
Mm-hmm.
So at least when he's in front of you, very practical, because if you don't, he'll kill you. But
maybe it's a celebration of when the Jews became free.
Maybe.
Yeah, even though
it
happened before then, but I'm saying
but that's the start.
No, right, exactly. Paro, exactly. Cause
the era of liberation.
100%, because you're saying we couldn't have the liberation unless we had the slavery first.
Yeah, that's
so therefore we're saying so.
That makes sense
yeah,
to me.
So that's what, yeah, so I'm just elaborating on your idea.
Yeah.
But Rob, I remember when the Jews were going out of Egypt and they were crying, they wanted to go back because they had no food to eat.
That's right.
They were on to go back to slavery. How the mind, yeah. How the psyche, they were on to go back to the person that was, you know, or terrorizing him, then go to the promised land.
You know what, my dear? You can equate it to the Holocaust. Should I get on the truck? Should I not get on the truck?
Well, they had no choice.
And if you get on a truck, you're going to be killed.
Yeah,
if you don't get on the truck, you're going to be killed.
No, you have no, that's right. So? Yeah. No, no. But
100%, yeah. Yeah. Actually, I found it. It's in Pirkei Avos, chapter 5, Mishnah Chafei. He says, he used to say, first he starts with very young here, a five-year-old begins scripture. At five, you should start teaching your kids the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
A 10-year-old begins Mishnah. That's the oral law.
Yes.
Oh. A 13-year-old becomes obliged to observe the commandments. 12 mm-hmm. for a girl, mm-hmm. you know, 13
right.
for a boy.
Right. Mm-hmm.
A 15-year-old begins the study of the Talmud.
Mm-hmm.
An 18-year-old goes to the marriage canopy.
Yeah.
That's, I mean, you know, that's the, you know,
years
18,
ago,
that
yeah.
was the... A 20-year-old begins pursuit of a livelihood.
Mm-hmm.
A 30-year-old attains full strength.
Mm-hmm.
A 40-year-old attains understanding.
Mm-hmm.
A 50...
Amazing.
A 50-year-old... No, it's either way. A 50-year-old...
Yeah.
They don't make a distinction here.
No,
a 50-year-old
yeah.
can offer counsel.
Yeah.
Can what for counsel?
Can offer counsel.
Oh, offer.
And right, so it's actually it says Ben Arbaim Wabina. It says at 40 you get wisdom, and it says at 60, it says you at 60-year-old attain seniority. You start
okay.
getting
right.
zikna.
Yeah.
Okay.
So
good.
It's interesting to say
That's it? No, seven
no,
or
there
80?
Is. Don't worry, I'm continuing.
Wait
I just want,
a minute. Let
I just want to say over a joke
a
I heard. So
he's a man.
Because I say
no,
over the Satmar Rebbe had a very good sense of
yeah.
humor. So
yeah.
one of his chassidim, his students came to him. He's very depressed. He said,
yeah.
"What's bothering you?" He says.
Yeah.
I just turned 60 today, and I learned in Pirkei Avos that 60 begins the beginning of old age.
Yeah.
So the Samari thought,
oh,
he said,
yeah. oh,
he said, you don't have to worry, because the Mishnah says at 40 you get wisdom, and that hasn't happened yet,
yeah.
so you don't have to worry about your old age.
We're still on
the
We're fine. Yeah.
I
so,
like that.
Yeah. So therefore, 70-year-old attains a ripe old age.
Yeah, oh, okay.
At 80, I guess back then, 70 was, that's all you lived to back
yeah, yeah,
then.
Yeah, that's right.
An 80-year-old shows strength,
okay.
I guess not, you know, more like, not physical strength
yeah,
per se, but strength.
Moral.
Yeah,
morals.
Life, you know, in terms of, right.
Life,
exactly.
Yeah.
You, well, you know, you figure you live this long, you could be more, you know, you're not worried about
all
other
right.
people or that
yeah.
stuff. I don't,
yeah.
maybe I shouldn't read a 90-year-old.
A
90-year-old
yeah.
becomes stooped over.
Well, yeah.
A 100-year-old,
yeah.
a 100-year-old is as he were dead,
oh,
passed
yeah, yeah.
away in Caesar, whatever that means. But either way, we have a...
What did they say? What's the words for 100?
At 100, it says, Ben mea ki iwu meis. When you're 100,
yeah.
you're almost, you're kind of like you're
dead.
Yeah.
Okay.
But let me just
yeah.
point out, we have a tradition in... We say ad mea vi esrim.
Yeah.
One should live to 120.
Yeah.
So what is that? Where does
yeah,
that come?
Yeah.
So where does that come from? So that comes from because Moses, he lived to 120, but he didn't just live to 120. He was a healthy 120.
Right.
He was vibrant. So
yes.
when we give a blessing, we want to say you should be like
yeah.
Moshe Rabbeinu,
right,
live to 100. So that's a debate whether. So we say you can't live past 120.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some say that number is not,
yeah, yeah.
you know, it's not locked in,
no,
but, you know, I don't think
no.
we have to worry
yeah.
about it. But that's the, so that's the
so,
number. So we, you know, so that's where Ben Admea the Estrim comes from. And therefore they, you know, and so those are some of the Jewish milestones, the different, you know, the different birthdays.
Yeah. Rabbi, I went yeah. to see Noreen Korman when her daughter passed away. Her mother was sitting with a wool hat and a coat, beautiful complexion. I went over and I...
105.
So she said to me, I'm 106.
106,
and
even
then,
better.
And then
she's in 106th year.
She spoke to me, she says, I love what you're wearing.